Just spider bites.
All right, I'd like to welcome everyone to this public outreach and legislation meeting. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Engineering Services Section Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members may also participate virtually by logging into the agency Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the committee using the call-in number or a Zoom webinar link. In the event that there's a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public using either the call-in option or the internet-based service, the meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. Remote participation is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. To the public that is attending in person, there's public comment cards on the table outside. Please complete them and return to the administration to help expedite public comment. The procedures for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for public comment. I will then ask for discussion and questions from the committee members. The committee then comes to a consensus to move an item to the board for consideration. We will consider putting items on the consent calendar when possible. Any PowerPoint shown at tonight's meeting will be posted on the SCB Water website. We have all committee members present tonight, and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Director Colley, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure. Please. Face the flag and put your right hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item is public comment on non-agenda items. Do we have any in-person public comment on non-agenda items? Mm-hmm. Seeing none, is there any online comments?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll move on to item three, legislative consultant reports. We have two tonight. I would ask that we stick to the timeline on the agenda, which is about 10 minutes each, because we have a lot of discussion after this. So the first one is Jeff Bowman from Van Squaic Associates. Welcome.
It's good to see everybody tonight. I went back through my notes and saw that I'd last presented to you guys back in October. I wish I'd say that I've got a lot to update you on, but I really don't. It's been a very difficult year in Washington, D.C., and this has directly impacted Santa Clarita Valley Water. We did avert a partial government shutdown today, but we still do not know the disposition of the S-Wells project. If you guys recall, we've got an earmark in the House bill, thanks to Congressman Garcia, to fund the S-Wells project. The House and Senate today, they did extend government funding through March 1 and March the 8th. It's a bifurcated process. But we may not know the disposition of the S-Wells project until early March, maybe at the earliest. So this may impact what we're pursuing in FY 2025, since even though we don't know the disposition of FY 2024, we have to pivot to next fiscal year. So we're not slowing down. We're already speaking to your executive team on SCV water priorities and how we can get these included in the FY 2025 congressionally directed spending conversations. We've had very good luck in obtaining funds through Congress through this process. So we're going to continue that engagement moving forward with your congressional delegation. The president's budget is required to be delivered to Congress the first week of February. But even if that slips, we think our congressional delegation will be seeking our FY 2025 input and our project requests in March, which is why we are sitting down with your team and reviewing your priorities for opportunities with Congress. And then my last comment is on the Water Resources Development Act of 2024. Due to a typographical error in the Water Resources Development Act of 2022, we are pursuing a technical correction to ensure that SCV Water will be able to participate in some of the activities with the Army Corps of Engineers, including construction of what we call environmental infrastructure projects for the purpose of enhancing water quality and water delivery. We identified the problem after the bill was published, but since the legislation was combined with the National Defense Authorization Act and was made public only 24 hours before Congress acted, there was very little we could do. We have engaged your congressional delegation, so they are aware of this error and they're incredulous, I might add. So we should see this corrected when Word of 2024 is enacted, likely after the elections. And again, that should provide us with a glide path starting in calendar year 2025 to engage the Corps of Engineers on some of SCB Water's other priorities. So with that, I'll close, and thank you very much for having me here tonight. It's good to see everybody again. Happy New Year.
Yeah, good to see you as well. Do we have any questions or comments from the public first?
There's none.
None online, none in person.
Just a real quick question. After the election in November?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We the way that most of the WERDAs have been enacted, I think it's the way that I calculated of the last five, in the last five Congresses over the last 10 years, four have been enacted after the election in the lame duck session.
Okay.
Any other questions? Or?
Oh, man, this
anybody else? Seems... Director Armitage?
Thank you. The SLOT project, can you remind us how much was that for?
$2 million.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you for your presentation, as always, and thank you for your great write-up. The only comment I had was, well, I wanted to thank you for the details you included about the low-income water program legislation. And then I guess more of a technical question maybe for Mr. Cole is, do you know, would SCB Water qualify for funding under this to use for our low-income qualified residents?
Yeah, I'm not sure, Jeff. Do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, I may be able to provide some clarification. I may not be able to give you the direct answer that you're looking for, but I think I can provide a clarification. So during COVID, there was a program that was created during the assistance packages to create this low income household water rate assistance program at the Health and Human Services Department. And the way that the funds were distributed was they went to, I believe they went to the states, who then determined based on some federal criteria which counties were to receive money. And then the counties was the ultimate disperser, if you will, of those funds. So I think in carrying out this program, if it's authorized, I think that's they didn't make any changes to sort of the formula process. There is one change in there that they are trying to move to migrate the program from Health and Human Services to EPA. But I'm going off some very fuzzy memory, but I do think there is a formula. Certain counties are eligible. I believe Los Angeles County is one of those eligible counties. And so they're the ones that are ultimately responsible for the disbursement of those funds.
Okay. So is this the same as the LEWAP program that we currently are helping customers tap into?
I'm sure we can find out.
Yeah,
we don't know right now.
Well, definitely. That's my gut feeling on it, that it is the program.
They're just trying to make it permanent.
They're going to redo another run at
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
This would make it a permanent program. That is correct.
That's what Padilla is trying to do, is what I'm understanding. Make it permanent. Okay. So I'm just, I'm wondering if at some point, if this becomes a permanent program, if we could, instead of having our own repair assistance program, if we could use that and tap our customers who qualify into that, and then that therefore doesn't come out of our budget, is what I'm thinking might be a great thing. So, okay. So thank you for that. And if you continue to have details on that, it would be great to continue seeing an update.
We'll be happy to keep you updated. To manage expectations, Congress's last 2 years, and they typically enact anywhere from 400 to 600 laws. This Congress has enacted a grand total of 20,
yeah.
2-0.
Yeah.
So it's been a tough couple of years. So yeah. I just want to kind of manage expectations. We'll do everything we can to, get you guys the requisite information on this. But just want to kind of lay out the expectations sort of moving forward over the next 8-9 months.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Great insight, Jeff. Any other questions?
One other, I don't know, do you track anything with SCOTUS, and specifically I was thinking if they recently reconsidered Chevron, and that will affect us as far as regulations go hugely. Is that something you track at all?
We do. We do track that. We can do that for SCV Water. They have not rendered a decision on Chevron doctrine yet, but we anticipate that will be imminent.
Yeah. I just, when that happens, can you at least provide us a few words on it?
We will include it in both the written update and in our verbal remarks.
That would be great. I'd appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Seeing no other comments and questions, thank you. And we'll move on to Cal Advocates with Dennis Albiani and Anne Lee Aiken. Augustine, Anne Lee Aiken, Augustine.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. We have two different reports. We had a follow-up report that was distributed yesterday because when our first report was due, it was before the governor's budget. I'm sure many of you have heard about the governor's budget. Well, Anne Lee will give a more in-detailed description of the key issues, but that was released on Jan 10. So we spent the weekend and last week working through that and followed up with a second document that has the overview of the budget. And so with that, I'll go through some of the bills and some of the actions. So where we are right now, we are in the January is the second year of the 2-year session, but there are bills that were in the House of Origins, so assembly bills in the assembly, Senate bills in the Senate. They have to clear their House of Origin by January 31st. So there are hearings going on right now. Today there was appropriations hearings. And so bills will be moving to the floor for consideration. There's only a couple bills that are of interest that were kind of, revitalized this year in the House of Origin and moved. And so, we identified a few of those in the report, but one of them that was of interest to staff, they did not take a position on it, but we did talk about it quite thoroughly. And that's just the 828, which would modify SGMA, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, by allowing disadvantaged communities to avoid additional fees and penalties, and then also manage wetlands, which are essentially managed for recreation and duck clubs and things like that, and environmental purposes. And so that they could avoid, fees and penalties for non-compliance. So with that, there were some folks that have been in SGMA, including Santa Clarita in the LA County SGMA plan. And so there are people that, are worried that if certain entities don't pay any additional fees or penalties, and penalties are important because that means they can pump more than allocated by the Sustainable Groundwater Agency, then that could be a problem, both fiscally, but also it could lead to incentive to, again, overpump and impact the rest of the communities and pumpers within a sustainable groundwater management plan. So that bill did move off the, it has been amended a few times. It did move off the Appropriation Committee will go to the floor, and that's really one of the most prevalent water bills that is moving right now. And then I'll have Anne Lee talk a little bit about the bonds and the budget. But before we do, I'll just tell you some of the things that we've also been working on. Today, we actually had a meeting with the Speaker's office. Anne Lee and I went through just some issues the Healthy Rivers and Landscapes, which is used to be the VA's voluntary agreements. Talked through that. There's a letter that we were getting our delegation to sign on to and working through that. That letter will likely go out tomorrow. And that is a much bigger coalition of all the state water contractors. But we, we focused on Santa Clarita and obviously brought it up to the speaker today. We also discussed, the 828 bill and some, just general policy issues without a position with him. We discussed the state project and progress there, and funding, and then just some budget issues on the water that Annalee will discuss. And then I said, already mentioned the letter we're getting, and you know, we've been involved with the Chrome 6 has been an issue for quite a while in Santa Clarita, and it is the they're finally doing their MCL and the regulatory process there, and working through that science-based process and establishing that, and that could impact some wells going forward. So with that, I'll kick it to Annalee.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. It's great to see you all again and happy new year. As Dennis said, I'll keep it brief with a budget update and go over the bonds a bit. We did get the opportunity to meet with staff this fall or early winter to discuss SCV's waters at priorities in terms of funding for projects. So we have that list and we'll keep it in mind for all of our conversations regarding the bonds. For the bonds, there hasn't been much movement, as we've heard the legislature won't be amending or moving them until after the March primary. So nothing has changed yet there, but we are still continuing to meet with all the offices that are leading efforts. We had a meeting today on that as well. And then in the budget on January 10th, Governor Newsom released his proposed state budget for 2024-2025. This is the first big step and significant, as we were looking at a $68 billion deficit, but it's only going to be about $38 billion is what he thinks so far. He did mention site reservoir and support for the Delta conveyance during his remarks. And then some areas of reversion to note is in PFAS support. So there's a reversion of $71.6 million from the general fund, and then $30 million also for this year for PFAS support. So we'll see what the legislature's response to that is, but we know that's a area that we're watching closely. And then in addition, there's a reversion for some watershed and climate resilience programs. And there's the legislature is going to be hosting in March, starting in March, some more specific subcommittees to dive in deeper as the legislature comes up with their own budget proposal. So we'll be watching these key issue areas closely, but wanted to provide just their baseline, the most relevant things for you out of those comments so far. So that concludes my report just for the budget right now, and I can kick it over back to Dennis, and or if anyone has any questions.
Thank you. Do we have any public comment?
There's none.
None public comment. All right. Any director comments or questions?
Good work.
Okay. Thank you both for your presentation and for your written report. You did answer some questions that I had about the AB-828, so I will skip my questions, but I do have a couple remaining questions. In the packet, there was the Aqua SLC update, and it mentions that there's two legislative proposals that were discussed. So one is the discontinuation of residential water service, amendments to new restitution authority, and the second one is environmental lab accreditation program, and I'm just wondering if you could just very briefly tell us a little bit about each.
Oops. Okay, hold on. I'm looking at them. So tomorrow we have a state ledge committee meeting, and there will be, you know, discussions about bills, and we met with staff. I am trying to find the reference to those two bills you refer. I apologize.
It's on page 7.
Yeah, and that was from the October meeting. I'm pulling that up right now too. Apologies, it has been so long because that's not as fresh in my mind, but I can get you, and we can provide the full summaries too from Aqua. They have a bill packet that we can provide just so you have the full analyses of those, but I'm pulling right now.
Still looking for it.
That's fine.
Okay. I apologize. That was an October discussion, so I will. I can review that
by email.
we can follow up by email, or if you want to bring, if you want me to defer to the next meeting, that's fine too. No problem.
Okay.
And there will be additional, like I said, there'll be two more discussions tomorrow, one on a very esoteric Prop 218 discussion is primarily the biggest issue or I guess controversial between different water groups, and then and then discussions about the budget and how to act and do that. And frankly, that's pretty easy. Most people are more money is better. It's a pretty simple message for the folks. And so looking at some of those priorities that Annalee went through and trying to get as much restored, like dam safety or PFAS funding or those kinds of things. So those are the two issues for tomorrow.
Thank you.
Anything else? Seeing none, okay. Thank you so much for the update. Happy New Year to you as well. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we are moving on to our first good discussion item. We have outreach year in review presentation and the year forward as presented by Kevin Strauss.
Thank you for having us online. We have our senior public affairs specialist, Lindsay Gibson, as well as our event coordinator, Casey Gordon. They'll pop in and out during this presentation. So tonight, we want to take the opportunity, as we did last year, to provide a year in the view of communications activities. And coming off of the November meeting, talking a little bit more in specific about our budget, some of our processes and our priorities as we go into 2024. So tonight we're going to ask for some feedback and some input on our strategies. And I know it's a broad discussion topic, but if you can keep in mind things such as, are we doing too much or too little communication? Would you like to see communication in other avenues that we haven't tapped into yet, or want more information on why we do things a certain way? Also, we're going to look at how we're conducting outreach in terms of traditional advertising, digital media, social media, earned media, because that's not paid, that's generating coverage through the media, and then also some of the messages that we're focusing on. So as we go through it tonight, that's really the topic of discussion, and we'll go through an agenda in a second. But I do want to point out that while that's the focus tonight, we are planning to bring later this evening a discussion on our event sponsorship. So that's a further discussion for after this presentation. Next meeting, we're planning to bring our event participation, which is separate. Those are community events that we show up and have a booth and do distribution of materials in our water station. That's next month. And then in March, we plan to bring a deeper discussion on our budget and really go through the fine print. How are we allocating our budget? Are we spending too much here, too little? Do we need to request more or what? So while we have information on our budget here, we're going to go much deeper on that in a couple months' time to be ready for the mid-year. So with that, if we can have the next slide, please, Uni. This is some of our agenda for tonight. It looks like a lot of information, but we'll move through it, but at least we can get to the discussion. Want to just focus on the front part about our department and admin, how we're set up, and really what our goals and philosophies are before moving into some of our more administrative efforts and achievements from the last year, some of our in-person education opportunities that our group has put on, some of the events that we've worked on, agency-wide campaigns, and then finishing with our advertising. Next slide, please. So as I mentioned back in November, I believe it was, it might have been October, we were the winners of 5 PRSA LA Awards, which takes submissions from any public relations professional living in Los Angeles County. So that's any private sector, public sector, education, individual can go up for awards. And we've won 5 different awards, our biggest being the best in community relations for drought ready. So we're very proud of that and wanted to remind the committee of those achievements from last year as we look forward to this year. Next slide, please. So one thing that was brought up that we wanted to talk about is really why are we here? Why do we have the POL committee? Why do we have a communications department focused on community outreach? And specifically, we support 2 main goals of the current strategic plan. Overall, we support the implementation of the entire strategic plan. It's our job to go and communicate the accomplishments and when those things are completed to the community. But 2 goals in particular, the customer and community, implementing policies supporting the social quality of life and environmental values of the community, And some of the strategies are listed there that speak specifically to public outreach and legislative efforts and advocacy. And then on the high performance team side, it's our responsibility in our communications department to focus on that internal engagement and professional workforce development and building that strategic or that cohesive team to go out and achieve those goals for SCB1. Next slide, please. So this is just a snapshot of our communications budget and how it's broke down into different sections. Most of what we're going to talk about tonight in this presentation is the campaigns and messaging is where our advertising comes from. That's the bottom line. $100,000 is allocated to that. A few lines above that, $105,000 is allocated to public affairs and partnerships. But sponsorships specifically that we'll talk about later tonight is $30,000 of that. And those other ones have to do with some of our more co-branding events and some of our consultants are in there as well. One that is not included tonight, and we talked a little bit about it at our meeting in the fall, is education. The education budget is an additional budget on top of this that we oversee in communications. Their budget is a total of $70,500, and $65,000 of that is reserved specifically for school district buses to bring kids up to Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant, as well as giveaway items to give the kids as take-homes. The rest of that,
$4,500. Repeat those numbers again?
For education?
Yeah.
$70,500 total.
Okay.
$65,000 of that $70,000 is school buses and promotional items. It's mostly school buses. Mm-hmm. And the remaining $4,500 is continuing education seminars, classes for the teachers.
Salaries for teachers are obviously not in those numbers.
Correct. That's just operating expenses, not personnel, none of that. And same for this as well. This is just our expenses, not to do with payroll. Next slide, please. So as we go through, we'll talk a little bit about our metrics and how we measure our success. And some things are very easy to have quantitative data and say that this is being successful and we're achieving goals that are very hard figure based. Others, not so much. We kind of have to go off of word of mouth and feedback from the community and from staff and from the board as well. So here are some of the ways that we measure for each of our programs, what is a successful program or not. So for example, for the Water Academy, we look to be hit a certain number of participation. We had a certain amount of participants. We take session surveys after. Where it says customer calls, that'll be something like, did we set up the ratepayer assistance program? Did a certain amount of people take this information that we put out and call the number? That's our call to action, is call customer care for more information about, and then we can track how many went that way. Next slide, please. Excuse me. And later this year, in the summer, starting in July, we'll have a government affairs analyst come on board. But before that, I wanted to highlight some of the organizations that we in communications are a part of, to work that our local and regional network of communications contacts to make sure that we're not just sending information out to the community, but we're working at the professional level with our counterparts at other organizations within Santa Clarita Valley, in Los Angeles, and throughout the state to make sure that we're updated on all information and best practices, but also that we can support each other's messaging and amplify our message out. So some of those memberships that we have are with the Chamber of Commerce and with VIA, and Kathy Martin is still our designated member on VIA and is doing work on that front. SCDPIO is our local public information officer group that includes public information professionals from the hospital, the city, all the school districts, the gas company, the electric company. And so we meet quarterly to talk about priorities and what's coming up. We also have a membership for the Special Districts Association. Director Armage is a member of the executive board. We also have a membership for staff. BizFed, we're members of that as well, though we haven't been as active with those events. And then I sit on the Aqua Communications Committee. Kathy sat on that last year, and I've filled her chair for this coming year. Our government affairs analyst, when they come on in July, will be responsible for our local advocacy. So those working relationships with the city council, the board of supervisors, local elected official offices, you know, Representative Garcia's office, for example. They'll have memberships in their respective professional organizations. They'll coordinate the work that Dennis and Annalie and Jeff and his team do as well. And most of their work product will be legislative analyses, reports for this committee, for the board, for Mr. Cole, Mr. Stone, and the executive team as well.
One question before you advance on this. The memberships, I know we're also doing Urban Water Institute because Matt is on the board. Did you count things like that?
This one on the left, I just counted locally based ones that I was aware of.
Okay. Because I was
going to say that myself and
the outreach
and
people
our team and Casey and Laura are members of.
Okay, but there's additional things that are
correct.
Agency has representatives at.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. And I can provide that full list. We had it in our packet for the Fall Water Academy. We had the most current list. It includes things like Director Cooper's on the Region 8 board and
right.
things like that. So we have that full list of. Next slide, please. I'm going to turn it over to Lindsay to talk about our brand.
Good evening, everybody. I'm going to walk you through a little bit of the history of our brand guide. And for the first few years as a new agency, we really didn't have any formal brand guidelines. However, we did put together a formal PowerPoint template for staff to use for things. But unfortunately, we had a lack of consistency with standardized items. So I just gave you a quick sample of kind of the different PowerPoints that you may have seen, you know, over the years. And so even though it was a little inconsistent, there were also attempts for unified rules and best practices. Typically, those were probably the department admins who worked on putting together committee packets and board packets. But ultimately, it was kind of a little bit like the wild, wild west. There was subjective use of our branded items. Next slide, please. Which brings me to our new brand guide. We finalized our first draft in March of this past year. And in that overview section, we've really covered the gamut. So logos, colors, what fonts we're going to use, the design best practices, guidelines for our photo and our video. We wanted to keep things really high quality. We wanted to make sure that we were pulling from reputable sources if we weren't using our own photos. Writing style guidelines was very important. Again, that probably goes mostly into the board packets, into the memos, into the reports. And then we wanted to provide, again, standard templates for everybody, letterhead, PowerPoint, and even customize it to each location because there are communications coming in and out of all of the different public-facing locations. And so we took that first draft and we trained 20 department admins on it in October. And they were the best group to train because they are very, very intimately aware of our brand. And it was great because they gave us a lot of really good feedback on things that we can improve, a lot of the writing style guidelines, because again, they're writing those reports, you know, every week, every 2 weeks. And so we were able to get those updates made and we revised our brand guidance. So now we have published and put out to all staff our new brand guide. And with that, we are going to do some training next month, actually early in the month. We have planned an agency-wide recorded webinar. So this is going to give basically the high points of this is what the brand guide is. You know, these are the rules. You're a brand ambassador, so represent us well and kind of go over the different types of uses and things like that. So I think that's going to be great for everybody. And again, we'll field questions. There might be more specific, you know, work group and department questions, but I think that will give everybody a level playing field and we'll all be on the same page to move forward. Next slide, please. Another awesome takeaway that we did last year was a communications guide, assistance guide in our intake form. So this assistance guide really was trying to kind of drive home and get all of the other work groups to really think about proactive communications. In the past, sometimes it was an afterthought, sometimes there was no thought. And so we really tried to kind of push that to be, you know, something top of mind, beginning of the project, hey, the project's coming up, even pre-planning. So Within the guide, you know, we introduced our team, we introduced our service request process. So we set our expectations. This is what you can expect from us. This is the timeline that, you know, we're going to give you, you know, for lead time on things, how you're going to request assistance. And we also outlined all the different areas that we could help you in. So, you know, maybe you had a project and you weren't quite sure what you needed. You know, we could kind of highlight different areas that would kind of, you know, bolster your communications for your project. And then the intake form itself was very helpful because it helped our team with our workflow and our workload. And so basically, you know, we get a new request, and as a team, we're able to get together and decide, okay, who's got more bandwidth, you know, who just finished a project, who has the time to take this on. And so we can kind of divvy up work that way. And it works pretty well for us currently. And so we're kind of just going with it. And again, as I mentioned earlier, it helps people in other departments to think about communications a lot earlier in the process. Additionally, this is a great paper trail for us because it's going to track where our time is being spent and is going to help us for future planning. And again, it just gives those realistic expectations for people. And so it's great because people are thinking ahead a lot more, which I will show you on the next slide. If you can go ahead, Uni. This is our response to our intake form. So basically now we are getting more than adequate lead time for our upcoming projects. And there's a lot more projects that we probably wouldn't have known about that need communication and outreach. And so if you look on the left-hand side, that is our outreach for 2023. We are very familiar with working with customer care. A new highlight is engineering, put a lot of focus and attention on communicating their projects. You know, a lot of it is out in the public, you know, maybe is it down the road, down the street from you, in your backyard, near your school. And so kind of planning that ahead and into that project helps things run a lot more smoothly, build some relationships that need to be built. So that's been really exciting. And finance and water resources hopped on the communications train too. They both had reports designed by our awesome designer. And so looking ahead now at 2024, we also have conservation. And I do want to backtrack. So for conservation in 2023, we were really coming off of the drought. And so there was a lot of heavy drought messaging in the first half of the year. But moving forward into this next year, conservation in 2024 is really looking at more of a planning focus. They're actually able to plan the outreach efforts that they want to take on. And so those couple of bullet points are just a little bit of a sample of what they, you know, are hoping to accomplish. Again, some of those engineering projects are gonna roll over as well as the finance and water resources design projects. And with that, I will turn it over to Casey for educational, is it Casey or Kevin? I apologize, it's Kevin.
No problem. Yes.
Yeah,
so thank you. So some educational opportunities handle. So I know I said we wouldn't talk about education, but this is different in a way. So the first one I wanted to highlight is the Water Academy and just some stats from the two cohorts that we had this year. So we launched the Water Academy last spring, in spring 2023, and really giving the public an introduction to SAD water. Here's what our operations are. Here's what our focus is and how we are run. So that way, we've had a lot of folks that have come in from the community, from local conservation organizations, other water districts and other special districts have been part of our cohort to come and learn how we're doing things and to take that information back. The goals, Ruvita, I mentioned SAD water and its functions and really getting people together about water-related challenges and talking about what our solutions and what our plans are. How we got information about this out to the public was through our Water Currents e-newsletter that goes out to about 17,000 folks, if I'm not mistaken, Lindsay, as well as advertisements in the Sunday Signal and social media. So we had the spring cohort of 23, our fall cohort, we had about 25 applicants. A few folks had to drop out or weren't able to commit to all the sessions. So we ended up with exactly 20. Moving forward, we're going to do one a year instead of two a year. We found that it was pretty time intensive on our staff and we didn't account for that extra time we have. All of our directors participate. We have staff on nights and weekends come in and help facilitate. So we're going to do one. We're doing the summer, and we found from our review and our surveys from the spring and fall that a late summertime would work well for a lot of people, and really launch that into the fall. So that's some highlights from that year. Thank you. We also relaunched our landscape and gardening workshops this year. We email approximately 20,000 contacts monthly, so I was mistaken. It's not 17,000, it's closer to 20. We also sent out a monthly press release highlighting our upcoming gardening workshops. We have paid social media posts with The Signal and KHTS through our advertising contracts. And we also share that schedule with community organizations and the business community to get that out to the public. So in 2023, our first in-person class in 3 years was held on January 7th. We have 35 attendees. Over the course of the year, we had 12 total classes, one per month. 8 were virtual, 4 were held in person. We only had a total of 228. The cost of that, putting that program on for the last year, 12 sessions, was a total of $24,000, $2,000 a month per session. And that included development of content, reviewing content, and having a facilitator through a consulting, an outside vendor. In 2024, based on the feedback and the participation, we've decided to focus all of our attention to 6 total classes, all of them in person. We found that the in-person nature works better. And we're going to have locations at the Pine Street Training Room. We're going to have 2 of those 6 classes at the Bridgeport Sustainable Landscape Demonstration Garden to have folks come out and talk about everything from native plants, non-functional turf, lawn conversion, and those types of programs this year. Next slide, please. And back over to Lindsay for some campaigns and engagement for customer care.
Next slide, thank you. I just wanted to go over a couple of our campaigns this past year. This by no means is all of the campaigns that we've done, but as I mentioned before, we work with customer care on a pretty regular basis. We helped them launch their pilot ratepayer assistance program in February. And the total participation for that program ended up being 510 people. I know they had room for 833 people. So they expended about 60% of that program. And it's kind of an interesting thing to consider that about 50-50 were priority and 50% were non-priority enrollment. So the priority, again, was senior, permanently disabled, and veterans. And my apologies, if you're not familiar with the ratepayer assistance program, the quick overview of that is that qualifying residential customers can receive $10 monthly credit towards the fixed charge on their bill for up to a 12-month period during the fiscal year. So, you know, it's great to see that people were kind of taking advantage of the program. And as far as the outreach and advertising goes, we did our best to try to be focused in our efforts. We did do ValPAC, which does go to all residents within the Valley. But, you know, I'll be honest, I do go through my ValPAC every month and I do pull out the coupons and the things, you know, I want to save a little money on. So that, again, that was some of our advertising. But truthfully, where we really made the connections were the outreach opportunities that were in person. So we attended the senior fair at Bella Vita. We gave some information to a veterans group. I was at Light at Main Street with Laura, and we passed things out there as well. And Casey does stock the library branches locally. So there's information in all different kinds of places. Next slide, please. Oops, there you go. And then Laura went ahead and was the primary point person for our AMI meter upgrades program. She's been working on this with customer care since July of 2022 and continued the outreach in 2023 with assisting over 3,000 meters being changed out. And the outreach efforts that we put into that is we tried to give customers at least 3 different contacts. And so we did direct outreach with postcards and door hangers. And then we also put things in digitally. So we did our Water Currents monthly newsletter, different social media posts to just kind of remind people, hey, you might, you know, this might be affecting you. And, you know, just kind of a heads up as to what was going to go on. And in general, the AMI technology, you know, is better for the agency, kind of reduces the amount of staff needed to collect data, the customer data, and it's just a more efficient use for customer care. So next slide, please. And then conservation. So this is kind of where the drought ended and where the next phase of conservation outreach messaging began. So conservation is a way of life. This kind of means that, you know, we got to practice it every day. You know, we have to work to find ways to save water, to, you know, reduce the waste that we have, to use those rebate campaigns, or excuse me, use those rebate programs to benefit us, to benefit our water use, save money and save water. And so we launched this campaign in July with a direct mailer going to all customers in September. And then we also did, again, we had an online presence through digital ads, social media, and traditional advertising. So that's kind of what's pictured on the left. Coming up in 2024 on the right, non-functional turf is going to be a big thing for us. There were two bills approved by the state by the at the end of 2023 with an implementation date in 2027. So Matt Dickens, our sustainability manager, has given us a pretty good overview of what the requirements are and, you know, the things that we need to meet and outreach we need to do. And so as part of that implementation, outreach is expected, and we're going to put together some plans to focus on education prior to that implementation date so that our customers will be prepared, you know, when that date in 2027 happens. Another thing that we're going to focus on with conservation is conservation in action. So this is a stories series campaign. It's designed to position us as a leader in sustainable water management, showcasing real life stories and profiles that resonate with our community. And so we're focusing on trying to engage and inspire residents, businesses, and local influencers and leaders so they can actively participate in water conservation efforts. So we're looking to turn out a new story one per month, so 12 stories for the coming year, and then just find different ways to maximize and get that message out. And the bottom little seal that you see is our Water Champions program. And the focus of this program is to help our business and commercial customers focus on and prioritize efficient use of water. And so some may or may not remember, you know, Water Champions, because it has been used in the past. The legacy Valencia Water Company, the Valencia Water Company had previously done this. So this was a project that Matt Dickens had worked on. We're revitalizing it so we can help our business customers. So we're maximizing our contract with WaterWise Consulting. Previously, they've done a lot of work focusing on the drought. And so with the work that they're going to be doing, they're going to go out to different businesses to kind of do a checkup, you know, give them some more information on water saving efforts, to give them different little water saving devices, aerators, things like that. And additionally, it gives us the opportunity to take the inventory with those business customers and kind of figure out, you know, what their water use is like, so that it will help us with setting our new water savings target with the conservation long-term framework. So it's kind of it's serving a dual purpose. So I'm really excited about that. And that project should be launching either by the end of this month or early in February. And with that, I will turn it over to Casey for events.
Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you, Lindsay. Okay, good evening. Tonight I'm going to discuss, where's my slides?
Can you go back one?
We can see them.
Could we change the slide? Okay. Tonight I'm going to highlight two marquee events that the agency participated in last year: the Home and Garden Show and Bridgeport Park ribbon cutting. These two events were the most planning intensive, as opposed to, like, the city sets up concerts in the park, they give us a table and a pop-up. The Home and Garden Show gets over 20,000 people. We start planning in January, all of the logistics. Several agency departments participate in this event. And it's a 3-day event. It starts on Friday for us and goes until Sunday early evening. My responsibilities include for this is coordinating all logistics with Carl at KHTS and AV Reynolds, coordinating logistics for department heads, coordinating with Monica at Gilchrist for the butterfly display, coordinating staff to work the event, ordering lunches and breakfasts for staff, ordering promo items if we need them. But I've been using what we have on hand. And so we don't have to use too much of our budget. Packing for each department. They have requested items they want. I pack each department a bin. Coordinating printing programs, program cards for each department. And then we set up and tear down. Slide, please. Ribbon cutting. Ribbon cutting was a fun event at Bridgeport Park. My responsibilities included working with the logistics of this with the city. We went out there the day before and talked about different things, and then we met up that morning to set up. I coordinated our water quality staff to go meet with the city staff to test the water source where we had to hook up our water testing of the water. And then I researched and ordered promo items, which were gloves and knee pads. Coordinated staff to staff the booth and the water station, and then we set up and tear down. Next slide, the list on the left side, the 2023 events, those are all the events that we attended and gave out information. The ones on the right side are the ones that I will be anticipating attending this coming year. We now have a flow meter on our water station, so we're able to figure out how much water we use. Or by the ounce as filling up a water bottle. And then for each report every month from now on, you'll be getting water usage for each event and how much we used at each event for the POL reports and the water resources report. And that's with on that.
All right, now I'll help close it out. Next slide, please, Uni. So talking a little bit now about our social media presence and then finishing with some of our advertising and website. In 2023, we increased our audience across all of our platforms, increased follower counts on the big four, as I call them. We really had to focus on LinkedIn to try to attract talent and really recruit high-quality candidates. We increased our LinkedIn followers by 40%, our engagement by 525%. And engagements on social media include everything from likes, comments, shares, and reactions. So any action that somebody takes on a post, clicking a link, is counted as an engagement. Engagement with posts that had video was up 475.4% across all platforms. And we attribute that to featuring staff and the work that they do and giving that human, real world, real person behind the lens approach. Next slide, please. Our goals for 2024 are continue to increase engagement. While follower numbers are great, if those followers are not doing anything with the content, it's really a fool's errand to focus on that. Mm-hmm. So we want to boost our likes, comments, and share them and do that through what kind of content we're creating. And we found that using stories, polls on Instagram, different quizzes, asking those open-ended questions and getting that back and forth dialogue is what helps drive that engagement number. And one idea that we have that we've seen other agencies do is have a staff social media takeover. So, for example, let Mr. Dickens from Conservation run our Instagram for a day and ask questions to him and show what is a day in the life of an SCB Water engineer, customer service rep, tech services specialist, and plan those out regularly. We also found that when we post video content that is within a certain time frame of a trending video topic, then those tend to do better. And so our goal this year is to stay on top of that and to capitalize on that more rather than we have a lot of long-term content planned out. We know that we have certain messages certain times of the year. We always have a conservation message. We always have saving water in the summer and getting ready for planting season in the fall. But if we can have that agility and flexibility to say, this is trending right now, what can we do with it? Let's take advantage of that. Then we're going to throw those in as well.
That was the best video, by the way.
Thanks.
So fun.
That was all Laura. She came and she said, we're going to do this today.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's one of our better ones this year. Next slide, please. So into our advertising. And before I get into the numbers on the right and do a little explaining, our traditional advertising consists of print, television, and radio. Specifically through the Signal, TV, Spectrum One, is our TV partner. Though their contract is mostly digital advertisement, the television pre-roll and online pre-roll ads are in addition to the digital search campaign that we have through Spectrum. So that's our TV contract, but it's all the same bundled together. And then radio is advertisements through KHTS. So the right side is ad buys that we've made so far for fiscal year 23-24. It includes encumbered funds for purchase orders that we've already set contracts through the end of June. The total there is 234. And you remember back, our budget is $100,000 for advertising. This number includes those projects that are billed to other accounts and to other projects. So Conservation has their own outreach account. The BMP fund covers conservation-related messaging. The Spectrum contract is in that account because those are conservation messages that we send out, drought readiness and whatnot. And these are other ads for things like ratepayer assistance and other public notices that we handle those insertions, and we handle that placement. It's getting paid out somewhere else, but this is just a total of what we've spent or what we have on plan with those for here. So this one is another one that looks scarier than it is. These are our digital ads for the year of 2023. The top two signal in KHTS, the audiences are what is reported to us. I have not been able to verify that those numbers are the same with what our actual results are. But the signal says that our campaigns get around 15 million impressions and 4,000 clicks per year. And we can verify that their daily email blast goes out to 23,000 recipients. They have those emails, the same for KHTS. Spectrum gives us exact specific numbers. We pull a report from them anytime we want. And so this is our year report for the year 2023. Our impressions number is down 41.5% from what it was the year before. Engagement's down. Our search campaign is down on impressions, clicks, and the click-through rate. We attributed this to the end of the drought. When people were searching for drought, they were searching for water conservation, they were searching for rebates through the roof. Our percentages were higher. We can talk to the Spectrum folks than any client that they've had in years. We're talking like 40% conversion of click-throughs, and that's unheard of. And to give some context for that, the average click-through rate for digital search campaigns, so you look at search campaign click-through rate, ours is 18.49% last year, which is down from 33.7% the year before. The average across all industries through Google, which is we use the Google network, was 6% last year. And we're still at 18%. The highest single industry is arts and entertainment, advertisements for television shows and movies. The highest, that's the highest category. Their average click-through rate is 11.7%, and ours is at 18.5%. And so while we do have a meeting on the books with our account manager at Spectrum, why? Is this something they're seeing across everybody? Is this something related to us? Do we need to switch messaging? We plan to switch messaging. We know that we really aren't searching about drought anymore because there is no drought is what they're being told. So what can we do to get those numbers back up and keep them from getting back down to the average? So while that is down a lot, we're still performing well compared to our peers. What is a search campaign? So a search campaign is any time that folks are searching for specific keywords in Google. They may be searching for planting a garden. The top results that come up are paid advertisement results, and those link back to SCB Water.
Okay.
There's graphic images on the right side of a screen that will have images like these.
Uh-huh.
The beauty of Spectrum is that they offer a retargeting campaign. So if you're on Google and you search for something and you go through to a website, and let's say later on you're on KTLA's website, that network of advertisements is the same. Our ad will show there as well and follow you through your journey. So I think that's why we've been able to do a little bit higher. But that's digital search is that digital display is our videos. We take our conservation commercials that we film. And then when you watch a video, if you're on a Spectrum internet connection, when you watch a video, you get fed a Spectrum advertisement as the pre-roll. And so those are our videos. Oftentimes we get a certain amount of those that are our videos. And finishing off with our website, and I appreciate the time, so I'm trying to move quickly through here. Lindsay, did you want to take this one?
Sure. Just quickly, we launched our website February of this past year, and we really focused this time for customer first, mobile first. So You will have a great experience, whether you're looking on your desktop, on a tablet, on your phone. Everything will kind of readjust itself accordingly and give you the information that you're searching for. And additionally, we have a seamless integration with third-party platforms. So we work with customer care and their billing systems. So when you leave our website to go to pay your bill, you know, we've got a similar look and feel as well with our conservation rebate portal. They did a good job of trying to match the look and the feel of our website with theirs. And again, they put links that will, should you navigate away from our site, to be able to navigate back. And then just a couple of things I wanted to highlight is I love that our website is new. I love that it's agile. And we're able to respond quickly to things. So I know as the legislative advocates talked earlier about the Delta Conveyance Project and the Sites Reservoir Project, we were able to respond and put up specific project pages for both of those under the Your Water tab on our website. So I think that that's great that we can, you know, instantaneously on the fly, make that information available to our customers and our constituents. And so that is all I have. I will turn it back over to Kevin.
And with that, we'll like to take any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Okay. We'll start with public comment. Anybody online or in person on this?
There's none.
Okay. All right. Directors, any questions?
So, willing for questions or discussion?
Both.
Okay.
Any questions I can help with the content was clear, and then this discussion, I'm just taking notes while you're.
Okay. I don't need to go first. I just wanted to make clarify.
I have a few questions. One question was, is there, so the budget was clearly not just your budget for advertising, right? It was 234. Is there a way to know like how much, like it seems a little counterintuitive to me that there's different budgets. Like I understand that each department sets aside money for advertising, but we're also one agency, and why don't we have one big pot?
I agree with you. There's certain things at play. So our advertising budget is general fund dollars. Conservations is very specific funding that they get for conservation messaging. So that's one that we can't just put over into our purview. We have to charge it to a separate account. How we've been doing with engineering and why engineering's taken so much to this concert, this communication intake form, is we know that we have a limited amount of dollars for rising costs for advertising. We know we need to communicate out to the public with postcards and direct mail and things for their projects. If they can build in that cost to their project, that gives us some extra money to work with. So the counter side is budgeting way more money at the start of the year or doing these one-offs where we know, like, hey, we've got $5,000 for a pipeline project that now we can print off some more materials and give them to those businesses. So it's tough to, we either can do that one way, or we can just, we can way increase advertising and manage the whole thing.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, do we know what our budget is in general for advertising? Like, is the budget in general, was the 234?
I would say that is more accurate of advertising. That's not encompassing all of our outreach, because that does not include print. That doesn't include, we printed off the popular annual financial report, the printing and mailing of postcards.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Where do we get that one consolidated number of all of that stuff?
So that we can work on it. I get a picture for.
I'm just curious. Yeah. It's more like I'm curious what that number is versus having to force everything into one pot. I think it would be interesting to have an overview. And so I wanted to. My other question was about that intake form. Mm-hmm. So is that specifically for engineering?
No, it's for anybody in the agency.
So basically, this is your like little PR pitch to the agency, other departments in the agency, saying, "Hey, you want us to use us? Like, we're the
yes, so
this is what we need you guys to do for us to be successful."
Two things. So Lindsay touched on it a little bit. One, we do so much conservation messaging. One, because it's important, and the second, because we're right next to them. It's very easy for somebody just to yell across, "Hey, can you help me out with this real quick?" Mm-hmm. And we're top of mind for conservation. We're separated from everybody else, the other workers. They may not think of it right away. Communications can do this for us. Mm-hmm. So it's one way to get that out there. We can do all these things for you. CIP, you don't have to pay a consultant to go out and do this. We can design a flyer and mail it out, and then you're saving money. We've got the time to do it anyway. It's what our job is. But then it also helps with our tracking. So we can say, I can look at my staff and say, I know what you're working on and how much you're doing. And okay, you've been overloaded with this project. Let's figure out a way to lessen that at the end of the year. It also helps us with tracking. And in the future, as we continue to grow our operation, it gives us some background of really how much work are we doing. Do we come and request additional staff or additional funding or resources? Okay. Then we have that information. We'll show.
And beyond that form, have you guys actually gone into the departments and been like, hey, we're the people, here's the things, use us?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
Sorry, I have a lot of questions. Well, maybe not as many as somebody else who I will not name, but... So I saw that the analyst is coming online, the local government affair and that. So is that person going to, it sounded like, are we going to get one consolidated kind of report every month, or are we still breaking them up? Or
it's my understanding they're still breaking up. They're replacing in terms of the monthly reporting of the previous local affairs person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Some of their roles and responsibilities will be those attendance at meetings and meeting with, you know, Mike Garcia's office and Scott Wilkes' office, or the next senator will be. And part of that is taking these bills and doing those analyses with them, with those advocates. Really, what does this mean for SCB Water? We present them out here at POL, but our executive staff maybe doesn't. So, hey, here's what's coming up. Here's what I'm tracking. Here's, you know, much more regular.
Okay, because I wasn't sure if the way that it was written. The unified packaging fonts and all that kind of stuff. I forgot what the name
branding.
Is.
Branding. Yeah.
There you go. My husband would be so embarrassed. he works in marketing, so. So you said that they was revised, like you gave a presentation to the admin,
yeah,
department admins, and then what were some feedbacks that you guys got?
Yeah, so we gave that presentation to, we coordinated through April Jacobs and all the department admins who helped put together the board packets and the meetings, and really, here's what we're thinking from a branding perspective. We're all communicators and public relations professionals. They have very specific communications requirements for board packets, for legal items that we hadn't considered, or we hadn't thought to consider of, no, I can't really use this font or this style, and I can't write in AP style. It has to be this very specific. Okay, so we put in those exceptions are, because we're asking the staff to abide by this document, to follow these guidelines. Maybe you want to spell out
good.
It's a sweet bone.
Oh, that's great. Here they are.
It's either that or the whole building
falling down. Hopefully, we want to be able to say, follow these guidelines, but if it doesn't apply to what their job is, then they've got competing directives.
Okay.
So we wanted to make sure we included all. So that was that last revision of, okay, we understand that you have very specific things. Now we believe we captured them all. Now it's pushing that out.
Okay. And I think this is my last question, was the gardening classes. Mm-hmm. Now that we're only having six and in person, what will the budget be now?
We are working with the consultant with that. So we have done with the Wheeler Company, and we had a contract in place per fiscal year for $24,000. So it had been 12 per fiscal year, 12 per calendar year as well, one a month. We let him know at the end of December that this year we're going to do six. We're not going to do 12 anymore. And he said, well, I can't do that. But one of my instructors, you can work with him directly. He's been the one who's been working on our content anyway. So we're negotiating that with him right now.
Okay. Because I'm used to this about that. And I think that was pretty much it. For now. I yield.
Anyone else?
It's just some, I don't know, comments that came to mind. First one was that my preference is always that we deal much more in conservation and much less in patting ourselves on the back. I've never been a huge advocate of that activity. If folks want to know that we're doing well, they can come to us and figure that out. I'm glad to see that we're trying to work on internal communications, particularly communications to the board. Over the last year, I've seen some of the most horrendous PowerPoint presentations and board packet write-ups that I've seen in all of my professional life. I hope not to see a lot more of those. I definitely think that we have more work to do and more places to go. And the one probably packet that offended me the most was the most sales pitch garbage that staff should not be giving us things which are much more suitable to a sales brochure for some software package or whatever. And so I'm hoping that we can continue to make some progress in that. I've also seen some amazingly good PowerPoints. Actually, one from somebody I didn't think I would hear. It just kind of surprised me. Anyway, so hopefully we get more and less.
You should give them examples. I mean, you don't have to do it now, but if there was...
Oh, yeah, I think I have. The good one was...
Like the fleet, the car.
Yeah.
Too.
That was... Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Apparently, that's a fan favorite. I've heard a lot about it.
I was... anyway, he does really, really well. And I don't know. I wouldn't from that particular workplace kind of an expertise. That's not somebody you expect.
Are you
really good
consulting mechanics?
But a fleet manager.
Mechanic, so.
A fleet manager just doesn't scream, "I'm a communications expert." Okay, I don't know.
Manager. Well, he's not even retail, but crazy customers and crazy vendors. Yeah.
It was an obvious way from when we talked about that you appreciated it was simple. It wasn't overly descriptive. It was the PowerPoint was visual aid instead of all of the information.
Yes. Right. Exactly.
I should not. You know, we get PowerPoints ahead of time in the board. Not in the board package, but we're giving them ahead of time online, and I kind of do worry that drives people to try to get all the information into the PowerPoint.
Right.
And I don't want that. I mean, that's not what a PowerPoint is for. A PowerPoint is there to keep primarily me, the audience, to, if I kind of lose track of what you're saying, get my phone, whatever, okay, gets me refocused onto the presentation. Provides me a little bit of an outline of maybe what you're going to say, but does not supplant the verbal. So yeah. I really want us, I would like staff to work on that more. I'm a huge advocate of having lower level staff have an opportunity to talk to the board. I want them to have that opportunity, but I don't want, like we did get not too awful long ago, somebody who literally read every line of their PowerPoint to me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Somebody needs to...
Was that in finance? Because I kind of remember something about finance. Too.
I'm trying to remember exactly. It was... it was not good. Anyway, I don't want to call out everybody that I by name on the negatives. But somebody should have been aware that individual had no ability to do anything other than just read the slides to me and work with them a little bit, or say, you're not ready for prime time. I don't mind a little bit of
less than ideal with lower level employees, but at some point it's just absurd. Anyway, on your slides, the only other little comment I had is that when we talk about how much something costs, I'd prefer to see the staff in there as well. So, like, you know, education is, you know, that whole department, okay? The teachers have a budget, and you shouldn't say that the budget is $70,000 when obviously we're spending several hundred thousand dollars more on staff wages.
I'll bring that back in March when we talk about
it. So just as a kind of a full picture.
Yep.
Right, which is kind of takes off of your concern a little bit. I like to see the full picture on anything. Yep. Anyway, those are just some thoughts I have. I'll conclude again with I would encourage you very much to, as one director, work really hard every opportunity we can on conservation. And the rest of it, one director has little use for. I think the Water Academy, we probably spent a lot of time, a lot of staff time and money on something that I don't think we get much for. I seriously doubt that conserves more than 3 gallons of water. Just my thoughts.
Okay. First of all, thank you for the presentation. Are they still on?
Yes.
Ms. Gibson and Ms. Gordon, thank you for your parts of the presentation too. It was a whirlwind. A lot. I usually look at the presentations ahead of time. I didn't have time today. I wish I had, because I felt like it was like whoosh, went really quickly. But I can go back later and watch. So I made some comments based on the presentation, but also a few things that weren't part of the presentation that I'll kind of sprinkle in as well. And it's a little bit random, so excuse me. One of the things not related to the presentation is I wanted to say that Spanish outreach, I feel like it was happening for a while and then it's kind of fallen off, unless I'm just not seeing it. I know the written material that goes out to residences and customers is front and back Spanish, English, which is great. But I feel like some of the social media, we were starting to do a little bit, maybe, weren't we, with Spanish language? Am I not?
I know the answer to that.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
It's that a lot of users are, if you're using it in Spanish, Facebook shows up in Spanish.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, well, there you go.
I know, because I asked this question.
We do specific printed materials in English and Spanish.
Yeah.
We still do most, if not all, of our content that go down to the public.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. For the education program for the Native Plants, so you're saying the Wheeler Group's no longer going to do the education? There's
an instructor employed by the Wheeler Group that has been doing all of our, he's been updating all the materials. He's been doing the present, I forget his name, but it's a gentleman.
So is he not under Wheeler Group anymore?
We're just going to work directly.
Okay. So my only pitch is anything that is being taught in terms of native plants, we kind of make sure somebody who really knows native plants and maintenance and care of them and understands what they're talking about is doing the education. So I don't know this other person. Maybe he's great and fantastic and knows all of that. But if not, I would encourage you to collaborate with a person or a group that does, just to make sure we're giving proper education. Because it is its own little world, and there's a learning curve there too. So I just want to make sure we're doing that humbly.
Yep.
Okay, I wrote a note. I don't know what it means now. I'll skip it. The ads that come through streaming service. So like I don't have Spectrum, but I see the ads come through on my Roku.
Yes.
And those ads are like, hey, we're SCV Water. And it's like the faces, right? And I get super excited when I see them and I call my family to the TV. But I'm wondering what the purpose of that campaign is. And I'm wondering if we can twist that to conservation minded and advertise our rebate programs or something through that
as well.
So
the reason that we had started with that, that's my understanding from the start of last year, we had the fix a leak week.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very time limited conservation video.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make sense to do a fix, the message being fix a leak week through the summer. It's not fix a leak week.
Yeah, okay.
So we've switched that until we had this new video that's just been published recently on social media. You may have seen, still with the same character of Carl, and now he's doing drought tolerant landscaping.
Yeah. Okay.
That is going to switch in into our video. So it's, okay. it was more of
the one, what would be
that one's been, it took a longer time
okay.
through the planning and the editing and finalize that video. Now that that's done, that message is
okay.
It's that.
Perfect.
Yes, the point of it is to use it for conservation and for rebates, and we just had that placeholder while we create okay. the next video.
I still appreciate it, but I was like, "What, where are we going with this?" Okay. Okay. One thing I would like to see, and we kind of did it last year, and I just don't know if this is like on your annual list, is when the CCR comes out, the water quality report. I very much appreciated that Ryan Bai did, we did like a live webinar on how to read your CCR. I'm hoping that continues, and it maybe doesn't need to be a live webinar every year. Maybe it's just you just repost the recording from last year, which was fantastic. But I would like to see a little more highlight when the CCR is released, just letting people know this is how you know our water's safe, right? Because I think there is, because of the hardness, there's a misconception that there's an issue with water quality. And, you know, I just want to make sure we're messaging out like, hey, this is a tool you can use to see that our water quality is good. And this is how you can read it. So I just like to see a little more emphasis on that each year when it's released. For in terms of the Water Academy, I'm wondering, do we reach out to the HOAs to invite HOA people to make sure?
Yes. So one thing that we wanted to accomplish in bringing this up, and I failed to mention it while we're talking about it, is by targeting the summer now and having that timeline now, we were more compressed last time of, oh, when are we going to do it? We didn't have as much of a in-between time to go out and recruit and bring people in. We still got a full class, but our goal is to start now and get people interested. And by talking to HOAs, by talking to conservation groups, by talking to anybody, to let them know about it. One group that has already expressed interest is our educating group. The teachers, they said, we know a ton about the science. We teach the kids about the science, but we really don't know so much about the operations of the agency outside of that. We come in and we do field trips and we do class visits and then we go home.
Yeah.
So that group is interested in sending a few folks to be a part of that. So I think when we start now, we can start planning for that summer. It gives us a lot more time to get them in.
And honestly, I feel like any new hires and any new board members or anything, they should be thrown into the next class too. It's such a great overview of the agency. So, okay. But I wanted to make sure we're thinking about how many people are going to be in the summer
class. We shoot for between 20 and 30 just to have a manageable group.
And then I think once a year is good for the Water Academy. And are we... I know that the plan has been to, since they become kind of our water ambassadors in the community, right? Are we finding ways to make that happen and invite them back to certain things or find opportunities for them to be like an extension of the agency and a voice? So I feel like that's a resource we should be tapping into.
I don't know that specific answer. That's something I can bring back. I do know that one of our participants who is a docent at the Placer Ida Nature Center, he's reached out and set up a program for them.
I sent him. Sorry.
I spoke to Dennis at the academy, and he said, well, I'm going to bring the group out. So we're setting up doing a day on conservation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to get Matt to go out and speak to the native plants and conservation to that group. So we're trying to make those connections. It's been not as intentional as it can be.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to hurry. I wanted to say thank you to the whole team for the outreach that's being done around the ratepayer assistance program. I think it's great that we're 510. I know there's some uncertainty kind of going into it, and our max is like 8 something. And it's our first round. So, I mean, I imagine that future cycles will build quicker, probably. I think I mentioned Palmdale feels like that. They open it up, I think, at the beginning of the year, and they have to close it within a month or so because they get totally full. So
Let's see, two of these are related. I think the story series is fantastic. I love that idea, highlighting our neighbors who are doing a really good job in saving water. And I think sharing that around the community, I think is going to be a really cool thing. The Water Champions thing, I think, is super awesome too. I know we've talked about in the past having yard signs for people when they have projects that they're working on and converting their yards, particularly their front yards, into more water efficient landscapes. I mean, I walked by a neighbor's house today and I've been watching the transition of their front yard. We haven't had a chance to talk to them. She happened to be outside this morning. So I said, hey, I love what you're doing with your yard. We had this long conversation. She's like, yeah, I'm doing it through WaterWise. And she was like telling me all these things and she's working with Siobhan. It was fantastic. And she's doing some really cool things. And so, you know, I feel like if people who are proud of the work that they're doing and your neighbors are walking by every day and seeing what you're doing, if you can have a sign out there that says like with the SCV Water logo and like, I'm saving water and money or something like that, I think that would be really great to have. And the WaterWise folks can leave it with them when they come for their post inspection. And if they want to put it out, they can. Okay. I think this presentation should be seen by the board at some point on a slow night. I think this is really, really good information.
Yeah, short agenda.
No, I meant an excerpt.
Okay, a shorter version of it. Yeah. So it's such a great presentation. And I think everybody should see it.
Can't wait.
Okay, like three more things. For the water refill station, now that we're counting how much water is being used, like I was envisioning like little magnets that say like plastic water bottles save, like 100 plastic water bottles saved. And like, you can keep adding these magnets to it. Or I don't know if it's magnetic, whatever, stickers, magnets or whatever. So you can kind of see the visual of how many bottles are being saved as we're using this. I don't know if anybody likes that idea, just throwing it out. For social media, I've thrown this out before, but you were talking about engagement and having open-ended questions for people to engage on social media. But I still love the idea of Tuesday, Trivia Tuesday. I mean, I feel like with the popular financial report that just came out, it's like chock full of fun little facts that you could just pull out of there and just say, you can find this information in this document, like, or if you're interested in more information, and put a link to the document that you could draw people in that way. And then last thing, I know we're talking about decreased engagement because we're no longer in the drought, but I'm wondering if we can come up with some messaging or tagline or something of like before the next drought, right? Because we know there's another one coming. We just don't know when. And getting people the mind frame of like, oh, let me build resilience in my yard before the next drought. So I don't know if we can play around with that. So that's it.
Thank you. Yeah. just a few thoughts. I agree with a lot of what was said. I took also, well, really bad notes here, but I loved hearing about the branding and comms assistance. I didn't know anything about that. So that's good to hear what that accomplished. And I wanted to say, I do think in the last year, at least, you know, what I see looks very professional, positive. I don't know the, you know, advertising tone of it, but it, you know, like the vibe is proactive, positive. It's not like gimmicky, too business-like. It's just like the right feel, I think, for the community. So I really like that. And I didn't know that that came from things like the branding effort. So, and I don't know, I was just curious who our awesome designer is when they talk about the popular annual financial report. Is that in-house or out?
No, it's a consultant, Rachel McGuire, RMG Communications. She's has won a lifetime award from CAPIO, the California Public Information Officials group. She has got her own consulting firm now. So she does she did the popular annual financial report. She is our current designer for our social media graphic things. And also does she also does the CCR. Okay. And she's doing the strategic plan. So it's all a consistent design.
Okay. Yeah, I really like that. And I also, speaking of tone, the conservation is a way of life mailer, I really liked that too, because it was broadly appealing. It wasn't like, you know, you're a bad person. It's like, you know, here's things that can benefit you, benefit the community. It was, again, very positive and professional, as opposed to like, you if you have grass, get rid of it. Like, I think we've got the right tone for this community, I feel like. I do agree when we're looking at budget, just considering budget. I actually thought the advertising and outreach budget was quite low when the $400,000 had changed. I thought that was very low. But yeah, it would be good to see if you allocate staff to certain things. I mean, I know it's not exact. There's staff and they work on multiple things, but maybe include a staff component on each line. So if, you know, engineering staff that's supporting engineering might be whatever, 1/10 of the staff hours a year, or something. Just making that up. If you can do that, or if that's way too hard,
No, we'll talk about it. For sure, we'll bring back, here's what our salary, yeah, payroll costs, yeah, are. Yeah. And then if we can, you know, we've got a few months before our budget discussion of having, okay, here's what percentage that we're, yeah, you know, Casey's 100%, 90% events, and then others, internal stuff. Mm-hmm. She's out a lot, but yeah, we can work on that.
Yeah, because I mean, I think, yeah, and also going into coverage, you know, I heard talk about conservation, but I also appreciate that we're going to have engineering projects. We may have grant projects that have outreach components that have to be covered. So I think it's good that we're covering additional things, good that the staff can support those other departments that might try to do it by themselves if they didn't know otherwise. I always think it's good to be upfront of issues rather than having a neighbor or a school or business mad because the street is torn up, or why is the street torn up so long, or why are they grinding this tank in my backyard? If they know it's coming, they know why we're doing it, they know that we're, you know, a local agency in town that cares about them, I just think that's going to go better. So I think it's important to cover those additional things. One thing that wasn't mentioned, but, you know, is important, especially as we're looking at Delta Conveyance and potentially Sites Reservoir or other things like PFAS treatment, you know, communicating on the projects that we're involved in and why are we doing them? So, you know, what are our water sources? Why are we doing this? You know, why are you hearing that we're spending so many millions of dollars on this thing? You know, so it's conservation is great, but it's not all that we do. And I think people are interested in what's going on in the community, especially in Santa Clarita. That seems like a small town, and they will talk about it, but if they don't know about it, that's to our detriment. Agree on the board packets and PowerPoints, you know, that I've talked to you about that too. That's kind of my thing. I do think, you know, in general, somebody should be able to look at it and get it, like, why are we doing this thing? Even if it's like the executive summary, and then there's detail later. And I agree. One thing I really liked about the fleet person and what I say with, you know, anybody that has a question is talk to this staff offline, you know, call that person. If the public sees a presentation and has a question or wants more detail, I feel like we don't have to have every detail in PowerPoint or every minutia in the packet. But if somebody wants to know it, the fleet guy was very good at answering like some specific obscure questions on the fly. People don't have that on the fly. I feel like we're very receptive to answering questions, so we don't have to put all the detail in there. I would encourage us to work with our consultants, because I do think it was an accounting consultant, some kind of financial consultant that had like the eight point font on a PowerPoint. I mean, to say, you know.
And you'll notice, if I may interject, some of our staff has started to use our updated template, mm-hmm, that we use tonight. Some, as in the presentation the other night, was still using an older one. Mm-hmm. Our goal, and we have very specific rules, mm-hmm, is no smaller than a certain font. All fonts are this, so they're readable. Mm-hmm. You should not have, the name of the rules, I believe it's 10, 20, 30. You shouldn't have more than,
yes, 10 the
slide, 20-minute presentation,
right,
or 20-point font and a 30-minute,
yeah,
presentation.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So we have those of, like, as we start to get more, we start to distribute this out to the agency. Yeah.
But also not
to get more consistent.
Yeah. And not just in-house. I mean, the
yeah,
consultants that we have you know, and they're well paid, no doubt, to bring the appropriate level of detail and, you know, thin out the slides, even if they have to rework it. I think lastly, you know, I mentioned this with education. I mentioned this to Mike Kuhlman at the water filling thing. You talk a lot about grade school kids, grade school teachers, sometimes middle school kids. I do think there's a need for in career outreach or speaking at, you know, high school or maybe even lower level college. I mean, not lower level, freshman or, you know, community college level, about career opportunities. What do I do? You know, I'm water resource, you know, like, yeah, I'm a water resources planner. This is what I do. I'm an engineer. This is what I do. Because I think seeing the possibilities in a very strong and stable industry would be interesting to them. And you know, if you have a kid that's trying to decide if they're going to stay in science or get out because it's boring, like they just think they're studying frogs or something. But if they think they can build stuff, or what do
we
build?
Fascinating.
Frogs are fascinating, but maybe they don't like frogs. Maybe they like the
offended on behalf of
you. Never had frog legs.
But the tunnel guy the other night when he was talking about like two ends of a tunnel and they're boring and it's 125 feet below ground and 35 feet radius. I'm like, you know. So some people like different things. And if they hear about, you know, water infrastructure, water planning, all that, that's still parents, that's still kids, that's still our community, and might be something that we can look at. Because I know you talked about that we stopped.
Yeah, we the AP environmental science program died.
They still have the class, but maybe.
Well, the class exists, but we don't have. We no longer participate.
Yeah.
Their kids no longer participate with us. That was something that
the districts do not allow for summer assignments. So they've lost incentive for kids don't.
Well, that program didn't start with that. That was kind of
what I'm saying.
Morphed into the summer assignment, which was sort of on, in my view, the summer assignment was part of the glide into. Crash
internships.
That's what we've been talking with the educators about, potentially doing summer internships with that education group, but we also have agency internships with each department of looking at our high school students to get them in. We are also the Hart District is doing a spring career fair. They did a fall one that we participated in, so we've already signed up for the spring one. That's going to be up in March.
So do we talk about potential careers there, or are we talking about hire you if this?
No, we had, at the last one, I believe we had one from Water Systems, and I believe we had a staff member from our fleet team just talking about, here's what I do. Here's my Here's my path. So we've had to find staff that went to school in the Valley and or at COC and how they got to where they are now.
Okay,
this
so
time, this time we're talking about doing somebody from conservation,
mm-hmm.
and I forget which other group we're looking at recruiting, but we're trying to mix it up a little bit.
The accounting people, I'm sure that's, you know, that's a lot of number crunching.
People don't even know their water treatment operators that exist.
Yeah.
Nobody knows that occupation is.
Right.
You know, everybody knows about a fireman, but.
Yeah.
Water treatment operator actually saves more lives than the fireman.
Yeah. I think that highlighting, like you said, like you can be a biologist, a chemist, an engineer, just all these different things, and they all come and they are in water.
Right.
It's a great way.
And it's an industry that's not going away.
Because I've learned a lot about professions in water since I was here. So,
yeah.
I mean, you could be in advertising.
Yes.
Marketing.
And win awards.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But I thought it was great. So thank you. And I think we bring it to the board, but I don't know how it'd be reduced, but you know,
we can
high level kind of.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. Let's move on. We have another media item to discuss. Item 5, review of the agency sponsorship guidelines.
That's me again.
That's you again.
So we wanted to bring this up after our discussion in November when we were talking about actionable items for this committee and reviewing what procedures we have in place. The sponsorship program, those guidelines, it's not a formal policy to my understanding. It was never set in stone. It was discussed in 2019, in September 2019, of we get these requests for sponsorship, for paid sponsorship of events where we contribute money and we get a good or a recognition in exchange. How do we want to approach that? And so the committee at that time came up with the policy that you see in your packet on page 41, where it talks about, it's more or less similar to the Ledge platform. If a program supports these sets of goals or fits into one of these categories, we will typically sponsor it, provided we have the budget for it. And so they talk about, does it advance public policy? Does it position us as a leader? And that's how it kind of covers the regional and state and national events of conferences. Does it support our community awareness of what water is and what the agency is doing? Is it an industry event? Is it for local elected officials, the business communities? We try to get it under one big umbrella of here's the ones that we have supported in the past. Does this still make sense? But it's really not a hard and fast policy. At the end of the day, requests come in to myself or to you and to Steve, and we provide guidelines. We say, does this fit into the guidelines? Yes or no. And then, do we have the funds for it? Have we done it in the past? We have a history of support there. And do it that way. This is different from the event participation, which is us going and having a booth, and passing on information and putting in the water station. That's a discussion for next time. This is specifically for giving money in exchange for recognition at an event. Some examples would be, you know, Chamber of Commerce's Patriots Luncheon. We are a X level sponsor. We get a table, we get a logo. S&P Water sponsored this event. So we wanted to bring this back here to this group, this new board members, new committee members since then, say, are these guidelines still, do they still make sense? Do we need to tweak them? Do we need to add anything? Do we want to whittle them down at all? And to just check in that they're still on track with how we want to proceed.
So just to be clear, page 41 was done in 2019?
In 2019, page 41, 42, those are the guidelines that came out of that. When I first started here, the file was last modified in 2019.
Okay. So that concludes your presentation?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, any public comment before we go into director? What feedback do we have?
No, it looks good.
There you go. Well, okay, so did you have anything you want to talk?
Yeah, I'll talk, but go ahead.
Go ahead. I don't care what order we go. Go ahead.
Just in general statement, we have a monopoly. Our customers have no choice. If you want water to your house, actually, you have to get water to your house. You can't build the house without it. We're the only act in town, and we send you a bill that is you have no choice about. So when a government monopoly takes my money as a ratepayer and gives it to somebody else to do something other than what I wanted, which was water, I'm not much in favor of it. I think that sponsorships by a government agency are rarely appropriate. I think it's, I don't see how we get to take somebody's money at gunpoint and give it to the chamber, for example. That is just not right. That's, again, I think one director.
Agree with you. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
And I don't mean this all attack, but I'm just trying to, I understand the water utility monopoly issue, but like the city sponsors events like what we already talked about, Touch Truck, Literacy Festival, et cetera, is that different? Because, I mean, the city is a government entity too.
So,
and they're supporting certain things, certainly not everything.
So the city does things for the benefit, presumably, of the whole. So they build parks, for example.
Right.
Okay. And there was an offline conversation about, you know, what do we have our kids do nowadays? Oh, they play video games because we don't have any parks anymore. Okay. Yeah. Or the parks are all too far from their house. Yeah. Whatever. So the city doing things which is aimed at going back and helping individuals in some way, okay, providing an entertainment, the concerts in the park,
right?
Okay? I don't much like to go to a concert, but I have no objection to my government saying that if you like going to a concert. And there's a large number of people that do enjoy going to a concert.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Packed. Yeah,
and I mean, all you fools that want to roast in the sun and go to a concert, you go ahead. And I have no objection to City of Santa Cruz doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. But that is different than a chamber, say, event, which is the chamber is there only to support for profit. Organizations, it's not there really to support the individuals in this community, the ratepayers. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, it's different. The city has to spend money on individual things that may not benefit every individual. Okay, there are people that ride bikes. Okay.
And they put in bike trails.
They put in bike trails.
Right.
Okay. And so, I have no objection to building bike trails, even though I've used, you can tell by looking at me, I don't use bike trails much anymore. So it's a different thing.
Okay.
But I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. I was trying to frame what
clarify.
You were saying.
Yeah.
Can I interject?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's okay. I think that the city, what they're doing, it's community building.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they are. They build a city, they are building a community, and all these things are part of the community. I think our job is to help our ratepayer as individually as we can. And that usually goes through conservation or things like that, rebates. Like, I'd rather us put our money
in that. Don't bring water.
I mean, yes, like as much as I love the fact that, you know, the tributes to, you know, our veterans and all that stuff, I find it, I went 1 year, like I find it to be a very important and noble thing. I just don't know if our rate payers should be paying for us, because what they're actually doing is they're paying for usually elected officials to go and show up at these events. And I just, it kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Any other comments? Were you commenting on his comment?
I'm commenting on his
comment. Are you done?
Yeah, I think I made my point.
Did you have additional comments?
I mean, that was, I think, mostly my... Yeah, because I think that sponsorships are different, again, when it is like to support, you know, water awareness programs or like that are listed here, or educational things for the public. That to me is outreach a little bit more. Again, we're reaching out to our individual ratepayers. We're trying to get them. So that could, those kind of events seem, you know, like at the park.
May I ask a clarifying question?
Yes.
So our, just so I can, take notes. So whereas Director Colling is saying sponsorships at any level, we're spending ratepayer money. No.
I don't think she and I are going to differ too much on this, because I think what I hear her say and I don't think I can disagree with it, is if our money goes to something which then comes back in some way to then serve the ratepayers. So,
so
the Water Education Foundation, right? Exist in the entire state of California. Okay, they couldn't exist without all the different water agencies contributing something, and basically that's just a way for all of the water agencies to concentrate their resources and then get back materials, education things, and whatnot. So that's an investment that our ratepayers get back something from.
And that's what I was trying to drill down on. So that the community benefit aspect of, say, concerts in the park is the example we brought up. That event benefits the community. The money is going to support the putting on of that event for the community's benefit is different than just off the top of my head, a Chamber of Commerce event that the public is not invited to, that you have to purchase tickets for, that only elected officials are going to. That doesn't benefit the community at large, is what you're saying.
That's my point.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Again, like, I think the concert at the park, like, if we have a when we're tabling there, I think the purpose there is awareness.
We're not sponsoring, but we're using an opportunity to get out.
We currently are sponsoring.
Paying. So I would only mildly object to that a little bit. It's to my way of thinking, that's the city's business, and they do it, and presumably, I don't know why we do. Other people say they apparently do a good job. Great. But that's not as objectionable as something which...
Listen, I think that Aqua, I understand, I get it, when we sponsor the ice creams or whatever. To me, it's just like that we can just then pat ourselves. Look at us. We sponsored at Aqua. And I'm like, is that really... in the best interests of our ratepayers, that we show off that we sponsored something at all.
That one's hard because the question there is that Aqua does, by representing water statewide, Aqua provides a service to
us. Don't we pay membership dues?
So the events, they need the events for the funds. They don't have the events just for the heck of it. It supplements the dues. The dues would be higher if they had no events.
Okay. Well, I don't see every, agency is doing it. I that's just how I view it.
Anything else?
No, I think I kind of gave my guideline of like what I think is helpful and what isn't.
Director Armitage?
I'm okay with that. I mean, an example I think of is like when you go to the LA Kings hockey games, they'll do like an advertisement, LADWP. And I'm always thinking, why are they paying for that? Like you said, if you live in the city of Los Angeles, you have no choice but to be an LADWP customer, and they're not advertising anything else. And I've always wondered the same thing. Like what are you getting out of it other than pain?
Yeah. From
From
a public relations perspective, it builds the groundwork now when you have to come back and
do a study.
We support the community. We're helping put on this event for the community. I understand what we're saying about business organizations is different than if it's getting a community benefit. It's to come back and say, oh, SCB Water, they're at everything. They do the river rally. They've sponsored this band event. They're helping to fundraise for the high schools by putting money towards that and sponsoring those events. The organization cares about the community. Okay. Versus they just take our money. They don't do anything. That's where from a public perception, in the first place, is building a long game of public perception of the agency.
I always feel the exact opposite. Somebody, if I'm at this game and I'm a LAWP customer, I'm just mad. Why did you take my bill for even less this month? Okay.
No. I mean, I appreciate the conversation. Mm-hmm. I
appreciate the sentiment. I think there's validity to that. And so I don't know, we're able to come to a place where
I had a comment on that too. First of all, I wanted to ask what the sponsorship budget itself is not.
The sponsorship line item is $100,000, is in that account. However, only $30,000 goes to sponsorship dollars. The remaining $70,000 was budgeted originally in this budget cycle for the Water Summit event that we were going to host that we did not host.
Okay.
That money is earmarked for that, which we discussed last time to bring back in 2025.
Okay.
So that's where that balance is. Right now, we're softening some of our other accounts and doing a little bit more advertising outreach printed materials. But that balance is for the Water Summit. It's $30,000 to event sponsorships right now, I believe. We've updated the spreadsheet that's in your packet because I miscalculated. We're right at that for the commitment for the rest of this fiscal year.
Okay. So 30,000 is really what we're talking about because we didn't do the Water Summit.
Yeah, because we did not do the Water
Summit. Yeah. I don't know the professional term that you just said, but I mean, that's what I was thinking. You know, when you talk about the city putting on the park or concerts in the park example, And you said community building. I mean, they have, you know, literacy festival or light up Main Street. When I go to those things, I think, gee, what a nice town we have that we have these things and I'm happy to live here. And I appreciate them doing it. And I appreciate the sponsors that sponsor it. Like, you know, I mean, heaven forbid, but our trash company sponsors it. You know, Edison sponsors it. That event wouldn't be there if the city didn't have sponsors. So I look at it as these businesses and entities, you know, private, public, whatever, are helping put on an event that brings people together. So I view our sponsorship as part of community building, that we're helping these events happen in Santa Cruz, which again, I always say is like the biggest small town. Like you go to these things and you're like, hey, it's like your neighbors. Even though we're a really large city, it's just a really good thing to participate in. I went to the veterans lunch at the senior center. I'm not sure if that's the one that we were talking about, but I mean, I was almost in tears, like seeing the, I'm going to cry now. The guy that does the basically the security for Boys and Girls Club, you know, like, and he didn't come to get his award because he was teaching the Boys and Girls Club baseball team that day. It's like, I can't leave my team. They have to play tomorrow. I mean, here's the guy that was multi tours volunteering or not all his staff at this at the Boys and Girls Club, but doesn't want to leave the kids the day before a game. I mean, And there was actually a low turnout at that. But everybody that was there was grateful that we came and supported it. A couple other directors were there. And it was just really nice. Another guy, sheriff's guy, I'm going to tell the whole story, but, you know, sheriff's guy, like multiple tours of duty, nurse, and now he's a sheriff. It's like, you're like, what a great town do we live in? And if we can be in that brochure, I'm looking at us going, hey, CB Water's pretty cool. We support all these guys that give back to our community. And so that, I mean, I don't know what you called it, but that's the vibe that I get from us being on these things. And I do think that it does build goodwill when we ask them for something. I think they're not that bad a guy. You know, they're not just at writing to us when we need more money out of them, or they trust us when we say, hey, we really think the State Water Project would benefit our community. They maybe know some of us from being at the events. Maybe they met us and, oh, that guy's okay. That girl's okay. So I think the sponsorships are important. I think it's not that much money in the big picture of things for the goodwill that we do get. And, you know, I view it as like another way of having ambassadors, because we probably, you know, worked with them. And one other thing, I'm rambling. Chamber of Commerce. I mean, the Chamber of Commerce, those are a lot of small businesses. I mean, you got insurance agents, you got, you know, hair salons, whatever. I mean, they appreciate that we recognize, you know, they're part of the community and that we participate, that we explain things that are going on, maybe, you know, legislatively, or why is there, why are we asking them to cut back? If we're present when they don't need us, then they'll listen to us when we need them. That's kind of what I think.
They're also part of the community, though, at large.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no objection to, you know, us having, you know, somebody in our staff and being a member. If they ask us to speak, we absolutely should go and speak and whatnot. But to just take money from ratepayer to give to that organization, just
a special interest group.
But we're buying it.
I understand that it's a small amount of money, and truly, and you know, when you're turning, I harp on small things become big things, but but I would agree that a $30,000 line item in our budget is pretty close to pocket lint. Okay. I would not disagree with that sentiment. Which is one of the reasons that I don't, you know, I don't make a big deal out of it most of the time. But when asked the question, should we take money from somebody who is, these folks talk about the ratepayer assistance program and the poor ratepayer, that we give them $120 back a month or a year and take, you know, a great deal
probably
more.
Probably a penny goes to the sponsorships.
Yeah, well, we're taking their money and they were giving it to somebody who, you know, the Chamber of Commerce also has, you know, some folks that are pretty darn well off.
And taking their money too and giving them back to them.
Yeah, giving it back to them. It rubs me the wrong way.
Not the ratepayer assistance program.
We're not going to agree on the ratepayer assistance program.
That I know. I'm just saying, though.
It's specific. I think we have mixed feelings about this issue.
Yeah.
But do we have any specific recommendations or actions, or just let it go? Or do you want to do anything different? Do we want to bring it to anybody else for discussion? What do we want to do here?
When I look at the guidelines, I mean, that's what they're there for, is so that we just don't go willy-nilly, right? Mm-hmm. And sponsor whatever we want to sponsor. So I think that was the spirit of having some guidelines. When I read through them, I don't think they're that far of misalignment from what we're hearing. That to be judicious with the funds, make sure that they, you know, align with our mission and values and those things. So I think this is a helpful discussion because it kind of reinforces that conservatism when we're looking at what we sponsor. And I would agree that we don't have a really large budget for this item because we're trying to be judicious with the ratepayers' money. So that's just my general opinion. I think the guidelines align a lot with what was just said.
Yeah.
I mean, I would take out B and C.
Yeah. Oh, you want to take those out?
And A. I don't think we need advanced health in the water industry. I mean, in conferences. I don't think we need to do stuff in conferences.
I think that's an important component myself.
What we can do is we can make some draft changes based on the feedback here, and then we can have that an item to codify next time if this is what the changes are going to be, rather than just us going.
What do you mean?
So we say Director Bronson says, well, I would like this is okay, we can bring that back and have it as an item of what we're going to vote on, because we're not prepared to vote, or other than we're going to keep this the same, we're going to come back and bring up revision and see that we're on the same page with it for the next time. So we can do that, or we can say, no, we're going to keep them the same. Right now I'm taking notes of suggestions of here's what we would like, some more digging down on community benefit versus industry benefit, more of a local approach than a...
I don't think you have consensus on that.
I don't have a consensus.
I think your other problem is flat out that the membership of this committee is, in my view, not as reflective of the average mainstream on the board.
Yeah.
I think that three out of the four of us would be more likely be a dissenting vote to the board majority than almost any other member on the board. Actually, any other member on the board.
What are you saying? They put us here on purpose so we can't do anything?
I didn't say that, though I'm not going to argue the point.
So what do you guys recommend?
I would recommend that we leave them the same, but onboard the comments that have been heard today and be judicious about how we go about sponsoring events.
I mean, I would like, I'm going to fight against this one, sorry. It's, to me, all the VIA and Chamber of Commerce and all those things that are for individual business and not for the general public, I don't think we should be doing. Period.
I'll make a case for the business community.
They make the case.
They, in many cases, pay substantial water rates as well. So they are a customer.
They are. But the thing is that other people are excluded from there. So that's the part that I disagree with. You know, the concert in the park, anyone can come. You know, when we do other things, the river rally, anyone can come. Chamber of Commerce and VIA, not anyone can walk in and just... Yeah, anyone from the street can just walk in and join the luncheon?
Well, it's the price of food and the venue.
So there's free.
So there's
that. There's the price of admittance. But you're telling me that as a private citizen, anyone could come in?
You can pay your $35 and go have rubber chicken at the Hyatt anytime you want.
Sounds delicious. But, I mean, again, it's not an event that's catered for the public. It isn't. And so to me, that's a distinction.
The business community is the public.
I know. So they can show up to any of the other public events that all the public is invited to. It's a different sector of the community. So
here's the, and I don't disagree with you, but.
Devil's advocate. Go ahead.
Well, no, I just think that pushing on that, if the question was to be put to the board, I know the result.
Yeah, it would fail immediately.
Okay, there is no way in the world. And so
I want my
I'm going to agree.
Register my protest.
I'm going to agree. I'm also going to suggest, as Steve basically suggests, that that we not try to, as a committee, push on, on this to the point where we create the question and the conflict and the problems, and I just don't.
The vote won't go.
Yeah, the vote wouldn't go. Yeah, it wouldn't help anyone.
Yeah.
So I don't disagree with you. I would cut off those things. I think that the ratepayer should not have any money, a penny or not, taken at gunpoint by
Stop
a government
saying
agency.
That. Stop saying that. We're not putting guns on anybody's heads.
The government controls the guns.
No, that's a terrible visual. Don't say that.
Yeah, well, that's the reality is that government gets to forcibly take, things from citizens. And I oftentimes have difficulty with the fact that the government can and does forcibly take things from citizens that they shouldn't.
But they do give stuff back,
though. Well, sometimes. Sometimes the government does good things. Sometimes the government does the most abhorrent crap in the,
They do.
We have taken people that are totally innocent and put them in prison for years. We've executed people that have done nothing wrong. Okay, so to say that the government, it sometimes does good stuff, sometimes does really terrible stuff. We should try to be part of the good stuff and not the bad stuff.
Right. And I don't see that we're doing anything bad here. And I think if you have the taking people's money and spending it on things, I mean, number one, I can't condemn the business community being a small business owner and married to another small business owner, and also knowing many people in the community have businesses, but also, I mean, like Social Security, I'm sure some of us pay into that and aren't going to get back what we put in. Are we going to advocate for getting rid of Social Security? Yes, we're getting way off topic. I'm just saying, the point, I just see that we, government does take money and spend it on things that they think benefits the community, probably more inefficiently than if everybody just, I don't know, so everybody was magically super efficient, that there's probably some loss there, or a lot of loss in many cases. But I don't think it's unprecedented that government takes revenue and sprinkles it around the community for a hopefully useful purpose. So, but no, I'm not advocating for getting rid of Social Security.
So
I'm just saying.
I suggest that we take Steve's suggestion.
Yes.
I'm okay with that. But you registered, and actually I've suggested that I agree with you. You registered your complaint, but to bring that to the entire board as a new rule when we know the outcome of that is both a waste of time and a fool's errand.
I will not press it, but I would say that sometimes I feel that it is important that people say how they show how they think in public.
Yep.
And so I think bringing something like this to the board and having all the board saying, yes, we're okay with this is also important to me personally as a ratepayer.
Yeah.
Well, this is public.
So I'm not, what?
This is public.
No, I know. And the four of us have stated how we feel about the things. And I think that there's another five people on the board that should also be able to state how they feel about things, but that's fine.
I mean, as a technicality, because this is a guideline and not a policy, would it have to go to the board?
Does this document have to go to the board? No, it's my belief. I don't have concrete proof of it. There was a months that I read from that meeting in 2019 that, just as Director Collins suggested, that guidelines were developed, and Steve and Kathy, here's some guidelines to follow in your discretion, so it doesn't go to the full board and be voted on as a policy. That would be my read into how that went. But here are some guidelines. This is what we thought. We had this discussion. Let's write them down. And now it stays as staff discretion because it was staff discretion before. Let's not advance that. It's been.
No.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't banished to this committee until relatively recently.
Okay. This is the only committee that I'm allowed on.
Yeah.
All right. We're ready to move on then?
So what I have written down is that the general feeling, I don't know if we have a consensus, but the general feeling is that Steve and I will retain the discretion of sponsorships based on the feedback that we want to ensure that there's maximum community benefit before committing any funds. The most benefit for the most people.
Yeah. It advances the agency's goals. It's not just about people, right? I mean, Princess Aqua,
its goal is the education we talked about, you know, Water Education Foundation, just a healthy resource.
Right.
Doing mission work and point for the most benefit.
I actually really like this in the back, as far as at the beginning, you have purpose. This is, I think, a good introduction as to why we're even doing this, but it's at the end.
I like moving it up front.
Do you?
Yeah, because I think it tries to capture what I was reading when I heard from you all, that we have different opinions, but that there is some structure in how we go about this, so we're just not giving sponsorship dollars out.
Right. And this,
we can do that.
It's kind of like the decision tree. And if you don't like read past the list, the front, you don't get to this. Okay. All right. Done. Sorry.
These meetings don't normally last till 10
o'clock. Quarter to nine. No,
as
it's not.
A chair, you suck.
Is it quarter to nine?
No.
It's quarter to eight.
I was like, oh, no, because I actually have a meeting. They're just waiting until the time changes.
I don't know if that's a pessimistic clock or an optimistic clock. It depends how you think about it.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
So I know Maven's Notebook is one of the sponsorships that I think we should absolutely keep. And I think I asked this before, but there wasn't any follow-up. We should be benefiting from her her digest that she sends out. I know you can do the daily or the weekly. Do staff get that?
I do. Yeah.
But does everybody get that?
About everybody.
Oh, I receive it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But we can disseminate it too.
Yeah, it's Maven's Notebook.
I have no idea.
The commentary on water issues. But well. Not necessarily, and I'm going to take is it commentary? She summarizes. This woman is amazing. She used to be local, didn't she? Mm-hmm. She's not local anymore.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
She's this water guru who reads and does everything water, and then she creates this digest of, if you want to get up every morning and like know everything of what happened in the water world in the last 24 hours, you read her Maven's Notebook. It's really, I think, a fantastic resource. Mm-hmm. And I know we're like top sponsor, right, for her. I just feel like it would benefit everybody as much as possible to make sure that they're able to access that, including the board, I think. I mean, I pay for a private sponsorship first. I think she should be compensated for her work. It's a lot of work. And I will continue to do so, but I think the board would benefit from that as well.
Don't add me to any email links.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I have mixed feelings about
it's really good.
More spam in my
email. It's not spam. It's in.
I get it. It's hard to, you know, I get different things that I don't even know where the hell I ever got on. But
I can see you saying
maybe people wanted to do it somewhere. That we have a
spam. Yeah, we can think about it, how to get it to the people that want it.
Yeah.
Say it that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
We
still have a few on anybody, but. Available.
So we have communication manager's report next.
Yes, it's me again. I promise no more than 5 minutes this time. We have three items on the report, and they're very quick. The first one is the 5-year strategic plan, just an update for you that it's currently in design. I've seen a preliminary rough draft of the design. We're going to circulate that to the executive staff shortly as an official first draft. Right now, they're working out what images are going to fit where and the layout of the pages. That final document will come back to the full board on February 20th for a vote of adoption. And we currently have a pre-plan of a public outreach information session, walking people through what the strategic plan items are and the goals and the vision for the next 5 years, to take place sometime in March or April, just looking at the schedule of when we can get that on. The water meters. So I'm going to make sure I'm talking about the right thing next. Water Education Foundation has a Water Leaders Program. They do one for California and Colorado River. You may have noticed that Laura Gallegos is not on the call today. She's been accepted into the Water Leaders Program. There hasn't been a communications professional accepted into Water Leaders since 2019. Mm-hmm. They take between 8 and 13 industry professionals in the state of California per year. 13 was the most in 2019. It's been about 7 or 8 every other year they've had this program that I've researched. So reading from their website, the program is meant to deepen knowledge on water, enhancing individual leadership skills, and giving the participants an active part in the decision-making about water resource issues. So they spent a lot of time in Sacramento. She's going to be gone a lot of the year at different industry events. She'll be up at Aqua in Sacramento instead of myself this year. Doing presentations and talking with folks on the Hill. And she's going to be teamed up with a mentor who works for either as a policymaker or works in industry decision capacity. So she's going to be in and out for much of the year. We're going to be working. We've already planned to cover her SED water responsibilities to make that possible for her. In addition to that, she was selected as the award winner for the John P. Fraser Fellowship through Aqua. So they cover her tuition. The agency is not paying her tuition for water meters. They also give her $1,000 credit for travel to make it up and back to Sacramento and where else in the state she has to go. So part of that is, I mentioned, she'll be at the Aqua Spring Conference. And depending on the executive director's prerogative, she'll give a presentation either to Aqua leadership or at a conference of, here's what the Water Leaders Program is doing this year. Here's what we've done. And she will be part of that group that makes that presentation later on. some more information to come. She's up in Sacramento right now at their orientations. They had that this morning. They'll make an announcement of their cohort after that orientation today, and so we'll be announcing that as well. Finally, we talked a little bit about internal communications today. I know we're focusing on outreach in this committee, but a new external communication tool and internal that we're using is called Soundbite. We launched it today to staff. It gives short video clips of, the goal is no more than 15 to 20 seconds to give an update about the agency. So the idea is that coming out of a board meeting, the board adopted policy A, B, and C. Here's what it means for staff. And Matt or Steve or myself or Rochelle can give a quick video message. Here's an update. Here's where you find more information. And it sends out. The goal is to give staff an additional way to receive content. We hear a lot from field staff that they don't check emails or not tied to their computers. This sends them notification to their phone. They can pop the video real quickly. We sent out a message today at 12:30, and by 5 o'clock, we had 30% of the staff had already viewed and interacted with that. In addition to that, as we roll it out more, it's not just going to be top-down communication. It will allow for different teams to send messages together. We heard from the customer care group that their field representatives would want to be able to take a video of a leak at someone's house, send it back, and be able to attach that to their file as a quick video, as an inspection. So they'll have the ability to do that. We'll also be able to take videos and communications for, make short form videos and post that on our website and post it publicly as well. So we're starting from the top down. It just takes time to build out the other features. So that launched today. 4 minutes.
Okay.
That concludes
my report. Thank you. Any public comment? No public comment. Director comments.
One of the things that I've mentioned over, I haven't mentioned a lot recently, but just want to have somebody once again give some thought to how we could, as a board, recognize better staff. Going above and beyond. I mean, the school board does it. I think they do it clumsily and poorly, and they have some really weird, you know, they call people heroes for, anyway, but
it's that bad.
Heart District, yeah, their recognition of staff is oftentimes. Anyway,
for example, the city council does a recognition. So I toot my own horn, but I like to talk about good things that I've done. I served a week during the Thomas Fire in Santa Barbara in the EOC for Santa Barbara. I went on loan to Santa Barbara County and worked there doing communications for the fire. I came back in the council certificate photo recognition at a public meeting. Is that something?
Yeah. Something that it would be nice. I don't think we need to. Maybe it doesn't even be a formal thing. Maybe, we got a letter from a particularly happy
about the customer service.
Right? That would have been a kind of a cool opportunity to invite that individual. You know, I've never met him. I don't know what he looks like. I wouldn't, if I bump him in the supermarket, I have no idea. Although even if I met him, I would forget because I'm old. But there might be a really cool opportunity to have somebody like that, come to the board. And have the board president shake his hand or something.
May I ask? Ask them what they want to do, though, because I always think people think the board is awesome.
Some are very uncomfortable.
Maybe he would rather be on a Facebook post, or maybe it would be cooler for them to be on a Facebook video post, even if it's the board president giving them a certificate or just a little blurb about, so-and-so has lived in the Valley 30 years and he did this, or that thing with Laura Gallegos sounds like another thing. But, how would they like to be recognized? And what would excite them?
I've taken a few notes. So recognition at a meeting, they get a letter signed by the board.
Right.
Delivered to, so, hey, you don't really want to come out public here, they sent you something.
Yeah.
So, we'll think on different ways.
We don't want them also to feel like, we're just going to sign something and it gets delivered to your office, but maybe they want to be recognized publicly.
Whatever you think the staff would enjoy.
Great idea.
We'll think on that. That's different.
Would you consider, because I think about the big milestones, if someone's been with the agency for...
Not at the board level.
Thing at Center Point, that lunch, they got recognized for
We do our staff
service holiday.
Awards.
Yeah.
I got our quarterly meeting.
Okay.
So this coming week, we have a staff meeting on Monday where we do every 5 years, 5, 10, 15,
okay.
I think we're up to that's money with 25 staff around.
I'm sure they don't overly care what the board thinks. I'm glad that they're getting recognized, but it doesn't have to be us is the point. Okay.
I think that there are probably times when recognition in front of the board would be nice and appreciated and would help the leadership of the and you know, a little bit of time on our part, you know, spend 5-10 minutes
yeah.
at the beginning of a board meeting and then, you know, let them leave. You know, you don't need to chain them to their chair to listen to us for the next until midnight.
Yeah. Or maybe you give them an option to come.
Option. Yeah, I would never, don't ever twist anybody's arm and say they have to come to, yeah, that would
we
be.
We could still read it or say it or whatever we decide to do if they
We'll look at it. We'll toss it around with
yeah.
the executive team
yeah.
and see what ideas come out of that.
Thank you.
All right. Any other comments on
For the strategic plan, the public outreach, I had already mentioned to you, but I'll say it again. I wish we could have the public segment before the document was finalized. But it sounds like, you know, it's not planned that way, but I'll still say. I wish the public could weigh in before final version. And then in terms of Ms. Gallegos being selected, I think that's wonderful and fantastic. And I'm thrilled that the agency's fostering this leadership development. And I think she's a fantastic candidate for that. So I'm really excited to hear that. And thank you for making that pathway happen.
Yeah. That's exciting. Are we getting a copy of the strategic plan before it gets to the board? Because it sounded like it's just going to the board.
We, as in the Public Outreach and Legislation
yes.
Committee, or
this,
all board members to review them?
I mean, I meant these people here, but I mean, I believe that
our next committee meeting is not until after the full board adopts the document. So the committee will get the final document to look through at the same time. Once it is done, I assume that we will.
Well, Director Bronstein, there has been many, many times, right? We worked through the public meetings, right? So getting to have input on that document. So I hope that, and you've engaged in that process. I hope that your thoughts and
yeah, it would just be nice
information
to see
are included in the document.
Or we vote on it. And not like a week before, because sometimes those packets have a lot. And when it's something that you really want to read and
The timing is something we can probably.
You know, it's not my first time saying it. Is that sometimes there's these big documents that you get it on a Wednesday, and for me the weekend is always very hectic. So it's like I'd like to have more time to read something properly.
That's fair.
And be able to.
I think we'll be able to at least do the text version. The design is going to probably take up until. No, but I mean.
I mean, you can win an award for that. That's fine. But we will.
No,
but
I think the draft right now, the draft that Mr. Means presented at the last meeting is the current draft that the designer has. The only changes. We're speaking to staff about the value statements that the staff has been workshopping. We'll bring that to all staff on Monday. And we've been kicking back and forth a few KPIs. The strategies, the goals, the rest of that document is more or less the exact same as it's been for months. So I'm happy once we get those locked in. If here's where the draft text is, and really that last legwork a few weeks in February is the design layout.
Also, just to clarify, I thought it was strategic goals just for this committee. I didn't realize that you were talking about
the strategic goals. Yeah.
So that's what I thought was just for this committee. My bad. I own it.
Big plan.
I retract my statement.
I just want to say overall, and I probably could have said this on the year in review, but I just continue to find the outreach to be more cohesive, comprehensive than it seemed before. I know we're, you know, still, you know, a young agency,
But I really feel like it's being pulled together. Nice quality, well thought out. You know, learning more about good communications from what we're doing now, because I see a change from when we originally got the agency together. So it's nice. And I appreciate the year in review, but even, you know, future things, I think it's going well.
Thank you.
Yep. Right. Seeing no other comments, we'll move on to planning calendar 7, presented by Kevin Strauss.
Oh, I was not.
You can do it, sir.
No, I'm just rolling my computer down there. So as I mentioned earlier and a few times, at our next meeting, it'll follow the same formula. We don't have a presentation other than we're just going to talk about the agency's event participation criteria. That's another thing that has just been kind of loosely, when are we going to participate? It started with, when are we going to give bottled water to events? Mm-hmm. We don't have bottled water anymore. Now it's, when do we have the ability to bring our water station out to events? Mm-hmm. So we'll review what those are. Most of our requests are still for that donation of product that we don't have, and mm-hmm. it's not feasible for us to go set up a water station in the middle of Wildwood Canyon. There's no place to do it. So we'll review what those are and how we're currently assessing when to have a physical presence at events, and answer questions about that and workshop that again and see if there's any change that we want to make. Then in March, we want to bring out, it's listed in April right now, Uni. I think we're going to discuss if we can bump that up. The budget. I want to make sure that we have the timeline with finance to get on what their timeline is. I have to confirm with Rochelle's group of when they would want us to finalize that, especially if we're going to reallocate anything.
Yeah.
So one of those two, either Mark or Blum, I would like to flip-flop with the what's listed currently for conservation, having Matthew can come in and talk about conservation and what their team is going to focus on this year. So by this time next month, when we talk, we'll have that fleshed out for March and April, but at least for next month, we'll talk about it on participation.
Okay, great.
And I apologize, I was wrong.
I officially asked if there was a public comment, and there is none.
We're so off.
Any director of comments? Seeing none, committee requests for future agenda items. Item 8.
Okay. I have a couple. So I know that Mr. Dickens group is stepping up outreach to HOAs. I know I keep talking about HOAs, but I really think they're a big stakeholder that it sounds like we're starting to tap into. And I'm so excited about that because I think it's really going to make a difference with conservation in the long run. So I'm excited when I see little tidbits of information in the water resources report section. And I know Mr. Dickens typically presents there, but I'm wondering if the rest of the group would feel it would be appropriate to have a presentation on what the outreach is to HOAs and what the plan is to continue doing that. Because I think I'm very interested in knowing that. So I throw that out. And then a follow-up piece that's more for like website, I think, is I know the other day at the board meeting, Lynn Planbeck had mentioned that she felt it would be helpful, and I imagine other groups would feel it might be helpful for there to be more of an automated process for notification of when any of the CEQA documents are going out for public comment. And I know I was doing research for something else, but I was on the county's one of the county's websites, and there was a really easy form. They had a website where they had everything listed with links, and then there was a form where you could sign up, I guess, to get notified. And I don't care which way the agency, if you decide to take this on, which way you would go with it, whatever is easiest and takes the least amount of people power would be fine with me. But can we set something up like that to make it easy for people who are interested in kind of keeping up with the public comment periods related to the CEQA documents, that you could either sign up for an email to get a notification that there's a document out for review, or I would think it would be more work for you to have like a web page that lists them with links, because you'd have to keep that up. And I don't know.
Is there agenda item requests?
I can do research on that and I can bring it back.
Okay.
And as part of my communications manager report for the website component, I have some ideas. One is extremely easy for us to do. Maybe it's a little cumbersome for the public, which is a full-scale solution. So we can research that and bring that back.
Okay.
for the strategy, for the HOA strategy discussion, I would say folding that into when conservation comes to present on what their year looks like.
Okay. Yes.
And having
okay.
that be part of their focus.
Okay.
What are they doing? It's not so much a drought.
What
that's, are they
focusing okay.
on? That's what I was going to say when you said that. And I know at Water Resources, he's done that before. Like, what is he doing with large landscape users? What so it'll be, HOAs will be part of
okay.
their outreach. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what I would ask.
Yeah.
I would make sure that he includes that.
Yeah. And then, yeah, let us know your if there's a presentation on how people can get more access to materials. And I wouldn't limit to CEQA. Maybe they're interested in construction projects or bidding opportunities. Maybe we can just do like a listserv or something.
Yeah, so the initial thing that I'm thinking of, and I can talk more about it next time because I know we're past time,
right.
Is RSS feeds, where anytime we add something to the website, they will automatically get an email about it. It's
mm-hmm.
just customizing what that looks like, and I have to check what our website capability is to handle that.
Maybe.
So that's the like we're just saying that we are already paid for in the solution.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other requests for agenda items? And we shall adjourn. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.